Our speaker today is a man who volunteers many places in the French Church. His finger is on all sorts of things. He is one of our coaches, so he makes sure our messages work well. So he speaks a lot through us. He volunteers on DFW. He's also the treasurer on our board. So he makes sure everything gets dialed in really, really carefully, make sure that we steward our money very, very well. He's also a financial planner in the city and probably the biggest D&D geek I know. Really? You are the biggest that I know. So, big round of applause for Trevor Dreher. Thanks, man.
Good morning. So, I'm actually really happy to be here. September 1st, to me, feels like a new year. I haven't lost anything. Yes, I know January 1st is technically the start. But isn't the beginning of September feel like just routines sort of start to come back, and it feels like kind of a return? And I'm really happy to be doing that sort of September New Year's message. I want to get you started with a really fun exercise. What's your first happy memory that involved money? I see some smiles, eh? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Like, what pops that just like, oh man, I can just feel the joy. It's almost like you're a kid again. For me, 75 cents on a Saturday. Now, that did two really cool things. It got me a comic book and a Slurpee. That's probably not your first happy memory, though. What's your first happy memory that involved money? Isn't that nice? Was it a toy that you had always wanted to buy and woohoo, got it? Talked about someone that got a G.I. Joe. They're like, I couldn't believe how good that was. First bike. Maybe it was a present for someone else. But thinking about it, it fills me with kind of gladness, and I see it. I see the smiles in you guys as well. Can I ask you now to move it up? What's a recent happy memory that involved money? What have you bought recently that just sort of filled you with joy? I'm a book geek, so when the chapter's orders come in, I'm a little bit giddy. What is it for you? Did you just buy a new home? Is it a trip? Is there a new vehicle that you're really happy to be driving? Did you just get concert tickets to like your favorite band? Maybe it's a book. And maybe when you try to explain this to someone else, the cost to joy ratio makes no sense. They just can't understand why you're so excited. But you are. You guys have some good memories? Isn't that neat? Like, money does that. And why are we talking about money at church, though? Like, it's a good question. You know, Vince and I talked about this. Looking back at past messages, politely, we've done more messages on sex than money here. I would have thought one subject was touchier than the other, but apparently not. It really is. But Friends Church, we've talked about a couple times already this morning, we do tackle some tough issues here. Because it's a belief that it's not just about who we are Sunday morning that matters. We've got this great value. And we value those things for us to create healthy lives so that we all can make a greater impact in our own worlds. And we believe that all of our life can be spiritual. So fears, failures, brokenness can be restored and made whole. And we use this stuff almost daily, this money stuff. So why is it such a touchy subject? Let me ask, what are your values around money? I know I've never been asked that question myself, but I'm going to ask you, what are your values around money? Is money for adventure? Is it for family? Do you get to spend it on your health? Is it security? Is it for fun? Is there achievement? Compassion? Is money for challenge, for status, for comfort? What are your values around money? And as you think about that, for me, the first thing that came up, well, is there some right values around money? I mean, is there a right value to have around money? One of the challenges, there's some verses in the Bible, and I think they can cause some influences on that. This is one that I think almost everybody knows. Love of money, root of all evil. Anyone heard that one before? And I certainly don't want any of my choices to be considered evil. Like, that's not a value for me. And there's, unfortunately, too many examples in our world of just people who've used it this way. And they've done a lot of damage. This is a great portrait. It's not mine. Does anyone know who this person is? Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff is responsible for the largest financial fraud in U.S. history. $18 billion lost. Worse, thousands of investors' life savings completely wiped out. Why? So Bernie could have his values of prestige and comfort. I mean, he's considered a financial guru. He was a genius at the time, before this all collapsed on him. He had a home in New York, an East Side apartment, a mansion in Florida, a mansion in France, and a yacht. He stole from thousands of people so that his values of comfort and prestige. That is the roots of all kinds of evil. Like, I can see that. And I wouldn't want my decisions to look anything like that. Let me ask you a different question. Could I tell what you value by how you choose to spend your money? Some of those decisions around money, they created those happy memories we were just having moments ago. So some of our decisions, they must show some good values, right? You know, there's another story in the Bible, and this has quite a different takes on values of money, and I like this one, but I updated it a little bit. It's the parable of the talents. So I'm going to bring it into the 21st century. A boss calls in three employees and says, I'm going away for a while. So the first employee, she gives him 100,000, second employee gets 20, last employee gets 1,000. And then the boss goes on a long trip. That's pretty cool. I would say actually just by the boss's actions, that she obviously values your freedom. She's going on a long trip. And she also values growth. She's leaving her staff entirely in their own hands, right? You're responsible for what happens here. She believes obviously they can grow into it. And the story goes, after a while, boss returns, and she calls in each employee. First group, hey, you guys got 100,000? How'd you do? Well, employee comes up, maybe an extra 100. And the first employee's pretty happy. They seem to value accountability. I mean, they actually did the work. Loyalty, they didn't run away with the money. And merit. Said, like, yeah, let's recognize me for what I did here. And the boss does. She says, great job. Since you proved you can do this job so well, I'm going to put you in charge of more. Come on, share the profits. Second employee comes in. Said, hey, you gave me 20? Yeah, I made you an additional 20,000. Similar actions, they show a little bit, maybe different values. They can. I mean, employees values commitment, they did the work. Competence, they did the work well. And integrity, again, they were there when the boss returns. And the boss is thrilled. He says, great job. Since you proved you can do this, come on, I'll put you in charge of more and share the profits. That's a great outcome all the way around. It's the third employee in the story that's always caused me to pause. Because the third employee comes in. He said, boss, I knew you were tough. And you had sky-high expectations. Since I was afraid, I just hid the $1,000 in a safe. Here, take it, it's yours. You know, as I thought about this, I'm like, what in the heck is this guy doing? I mean, the boss actually trusted him with a little responsibility, and he did nothing. What does he value? And the boss loses it. You lazy worker. Yeah, you know I'm tough. But he didn't even put my money into the bank. Took the money, gave it to the first employee. Hey, this person actually knows what they're doing. They're going to get more. But you're fired. Get out. I always struggle with that. But shaped into a modern-day story, it made a lot of sense to me. Like, who would want a team member who doesn't even pull their weight? I mean, the third employee could say he valued growth or accountability and merit. But what does action show? Nothing. So when we look at our values and our money, how much of our choices are influenced by them? I mean, I would hope it would be all of them. I'm sure you do too. But I was looking at someone answer this very question. It was very funny. It was a financial expert, Chris Hogan. And he had a really good quote because it actually made me feel really good. He said, I think we've all made mistakes not understanding how money works. For me, that just took the tension right off. I'm like, oh, good. I haven't been perfect because I've been a little bit human and I've spent some things in stupid areas. And I was happy to hear we've all made mistakes. Not all my purchases reflect my deepest values. I get that. I've seen that. But they should generally, shouldn't they? I mean, if you went on a trip to Disneyland, I'm going to assume you value either family or fun or discovery. Like, shouldn't it show? And does all your spending show your values? And moreover, would you want it to? Vince mentioned my area of expertise is financial independence. And I would share this thought. I think if you analyze your spending, it does show your values. When I have people in front of me and they have $2,500 of car payments, I would say they value prestige. If you're spending $1,000 eating out a month, I'm just curious, is it convenient or relationships or fun? Like, there is value shown by what you spend. But here's the interesting thing. In 17 years doing this, what I find is people who consistently spend to their values are the happiest. It's not really surprising, is it? Like, they generally feel good about where they put their money. And notice I said they spend to their values. They don't spend to their friends' values. They're not even their family's values. And maybe not society's values either. They spend to their values. You know what? Sometimes there's some pain in discovering when your money choices don't align with values. I'm out for lunch with a great pal, known him since junior high, and he's making money hand over fist. He's brokering deals literally across the globe, selling things to different people, and he's the linchpin for it. Prestige, you bet. Accomplishment, whew, security, the money's rolling in. And I'm smiling, because I know I ain't paying for lunch. Like, this is a good deal. And then the tone really changed. He tells me, he says, I'm flying over 100 days a year. He's got a young family. He says he values family, but he's on the road 100 days a year, and we're like Hong Kong on the road. Like, we're not talking any place close. And it gets worse. His kids are starting to struggle in school. They're acting out at home. Like, it's hard to hear this from someone I've known so long. Oof, it wasn't a happy conversation anymore. What would you do? I mean, does he want to value prestige, accomplishment, security more than family? What would you do? He quit. Took another job, a lot less money, but no travel. He was willing to put his money where his mouth was, politely. Because he says he values his family, and now, actually it shows. He's there at games. He's there helping him tutor. You know, when we talk about money, people sometimes get the idea that it's about how much you make. It isn't. This is not about how little or how much you make. And I'm going to say that again. It's not about how little or how much you make. It's about spending on what you value. And I say analyze your spending, and it'll show them. But when I say the word analyze, I think sometimes people get this image in their head of, where's my favorite image? I love this image. When I say analyze, did you see that? Were you thinking, oh my goodness, how much work do I have to... For those on the podcast, I've just put, I'm sure it's a rocket launch equation on blackboards up. Because it really can be that way, when that analyze, it seems like a really impossible task. You want me to look at everything? Oh my goodness, come on. You know how much come on. And I would say if I was asking you to solve that task, I think you'd be fair to push back. But I'm actually not asking you to solve that task. I'm asking you to solve this one. My new image podcasters is 1 + 1 = 2, because that's how clean it is. You don't have to complicate it. Whatever your personal beliefs around math, you're great, you're terrible, it's easy, it's hard. I know everyone in the room can do this. I use analyze, though, really deliberately, because I actually do really believe you have to bring your thinking mind to this. It doesn't have to be complicated. I want to show you how easy it is. What was the last thing you spent money on? Like maybe even this morning. Was it a coffee? Was it dinner last night? Was it a yoga class? Okay. Does it show your value? Does it show adventure or family? Does it fit with your goal of value of health or security or fun or achievement? Compassion, challenge, status? Did that purchase truly reflect your value? I got a friend who always wants the latest gadget. He's an early adopter, and he's got it. He loves efficiency. It's his value. I could see it in all of his purchases. I think he's nuts, but that doesn't matter. It's his value. Neighbor who went back to school, took an entire year off work, gave up that income to get her PhD. I would have done it a different way, but she values knowledge that much. And her value was shown. Husband and wife in my office, and they don't ever want to lose money. They invest in GICs. They value security over common sense, I would argue, but it's their value. It's not my value, it's theirs. So do we want to analyze this? Do we want to keep our values in mind with our spending? Well, why wouldn't we? I mean, who wouldn't want to analyze your money choices? Doesn't this sound like fun? Let me share with you something I really hate to analyze. December 1st, 2015, I stopped stepping on the scale. Throughout the rest of the year, I'm super diligent, and I am deliberate each week. I can't say I'm always happy with what the scale tells me. I think it's lying sometimes, but it doesn't. But it keeps me personally accountable, and I do value my health. Like, really value it, and I appreciate it. And weight's one of the areas, for me, I have to be aware of. And this year, I was working really hard in the holiday season, keeping health at the front of my mind. So December 1st, I stopped stepping on. Well, I'll tell you a couple reasons. We had family visiting from overseas. Our pantry is overflowing. We had a hockey tournament for my son. The first weekend of December, we're out of town. His games don't start till 11 in the morning. $4 drinks at the bar, and I just have to stumble back to the room. I mean, who could beat that? Didn't even have to drive. We had an office function, first week of December. Ridiculously excellent meal, lots of wine and tiramisu. Oh. And then we had the family chili get-together with caramel balls. These are my stepmom's most awesome creation. It's a ball of caramel, and you put cornflakes on it. Then we had a Mexican night that we were invited to, and the host is a tequila connoisseur. Did you guys even know they were sipping tequilas? Some of you did. I did not. Now I knew that they were sipping tequilas. Then we had the Dreyer's Xmas annual party at my friend's house, because we had out-of-town companies, and we wanted to be good hosts. So there was lots of rum and appetizers, and I had a couple of regular bi-weekly get-togethers with my D&D group with pizza pop and potato chips. That was all before Christmas Day. Is it any wonder that I did not want to step on that damn scale? Like, I had really excellent intentions in regards to watching my weight over the holidays. Health, health, health. And they were crushed like cornflakes over caramel bars. Like, I didn't want to step on. Like, I knew the news. It wasn't going to be anything good. I wanted to delay, and I was justifying it. I mean, I'll get it right. I can fix this. Oh, I just have to start eating properly. Oh, I'll go back to my November 30th weight. And I'm thinking all this, but it's not moving me any closer to the scale. It wasn't showing my value. My value is health. So when I say analyze your cash flow, if it fills you with some same sick dread that it fills me with that scale, can I say I get it? Like, I really friggin' get it. Like, it can be hard. You're looking at this, and this is simple stuff. Eat less, lose weight, be healthier, spend less on what you don't want, have more money to spend in areas you do. Why isn't it simple? But I know for me, I need to do it. I need to step back on the scale. Assess the damage. Then facing reality, I can start to fix it. For me, if I never weigh in again, I believe I have something like zero chance of my weight going to where I'd like it to be. Health. For me, I know that's where it starts. Scale. Analyze your spending. It'll show your values. And when you analyze it, you can start to become aware of, where could I spend in some other areas? If you're thinking like me in that scale, if I don't look at it, it'll be fine. Oh, I believe trouble comes. Life happens. Jobs stop. Water tanks explode in this city. Kids need braces. WestJet has a seat sale on Hawaii. Now, really being on top of this, connecting values with money, this analysis has led to my favorite conversation so far on money in my house. I asked my wife, are we going out for Vietnamese? And because we were tracking spending, this is what she answered. Well, we can't go out for Vietnamese tonight because we're going for sushi tomorrow. Okay. Now, this little $40 decision isn't going to bankrupt us. But we were making decisions about what we valued more. We're travel freaks, and we would rather put more money aside in the travel account. So adventure over convenience. That's where we wanted our money to go. Remember when we started, I asked you about a recent happy memory about money? I'm going to bet you've spent money on lots of other things as well, and not all of them produced a happy memory. I used to golf. Sorry, golfers. I realized one day we're on the tee box, and I turned to the other three guys in the thing and said, you know, guys, I could have gone out for lunch and bought three books with what I just spent on this round. This is crazy. Now, when you're with three other golfers, I could have grown another head and it would have been a less strange explanation. See, for me, I valued knowledge and convenience and some comfort, but for them, it was like recreation, challenge, it was perfect. I could have thought of a dozen uses of my money they couldn't have thought about. Another one. So analyze your spending, it'll show what you value. And let me give you a challenge, just like my friend who quit his job. How deep are you willing to go? See, we're not born with mortgages. We don't come out of the womb with car payments or cell contracts or gym memberships. But we do accumulate a lot of financial obligations. But is it really what you value? Looking at your spending, that's going to take some courage. And you might not like everything you find. It may even result in some changes. But whatever your values around money, realize the outcomes it creates in your life. Guess what? Good news. You get to control them. So let me challenge you this week. Analyze your spending. It'll show your values. It'll bring awareness to where you're spending, where you want to, and where you're not. So when this question is asked again, what's a recent happy memory that involved money? You can start to get rid of money choices that just don't add happy memories, don't reflect your values. And you're going to find yourself spending and putting your money in places that do. And that's a much better outcome, much more happy memories all around. Have a great week, everyone.